Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Really excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday as we get you ready for Chiefs and Broncos. We got a lot to get into in today's show. I don't know if we can top the guests that we had yesterday on the show. I mean, when you get Jim Nance and Patrick Mahomes on the show, you pretty much top out at the week on what you're going to be able to do from a guest perspective. But we are happy to be joined by James Palmer. He is going to be on the show coming up later today. Really excited to get his thoughts on Chiefs and Broncos. He is based in Denver. He certainly knows his way around Kansas City as well. You guys have heard James Palmer on the show. He is going to help get us ready for the biggest game this weekend in the AFC. We got a lot to get into. But before we do any of that, I need to remind you guys of a couple of things. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you guys to tell one friend to check out the show. And number three, and most importantly, I need you guys to remember that the open of the show each day is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place. So if you were looking for somewhere to watch Thursday night football, maybe you want to watch a little college basketball tonight as well, maybe a little NBA action, you want to get a little bit of food, you want to grab something to drink, you want to have a good time, you want to enjoy some of this good weather that we are having, then be sure to go stop by and see our friends over at The Other Place. So let's start with this as we kick things off today. The AFC has had the same Final Four teams for the last couple of seasons. In this analogy, I would call them old money. Now, I know that the Bills haven't won a championship. I know that Lamar Jackson and the Ravens have not won a championship, but I think you follow this analogy. The Chiefs, Bills, and Ravens have been old money. They have dominated the AFC for a half decade, and you know that in the playoffs, you're going to have to see one of those three teams, and more specifically, in order to get to where you want to go in the AFC, you're going to have to get through Kansas City. What you are seeing is a potential shifting of the power. What you are seeing is that there are three teams right now that are potentially challenging the hierarchy of the AFC. We spent all summer talking about the big three, Kansas City, Buffalo, and Baltimore. And sometimes we would entertain, maybe it was a Cincinnati, or maybe you would entertain a Pittsburgh, but we were kind of waiting to see what teams were going to emerge in the AFC. That now we sit here a little bit halfway past the midway point, I think there is a new big three that is being established. Now, we'll see if those three teams exist at the end of the season. But so far, the three best teams in the AFC have not been either of those three teams that I mentioned. It has been New England, it has been Indianapolis, and it has been the Denver Broncos. Those three teams are challenging the hierarchy of our perception of the AFC. But I understand if you don't believe in those teams. I don't really believe in those teams. But how you get to the standpoint where the public will believe in you, where the public has trust in you, is winning these kinds of games. You remember, it wasn't that long ago that Kansas City was kind of in this conversation, and the old guard, the old money, was the New England Patriots. The Chiefs came very close to beating the Patriots, but we all know what happened. We don't have to go all the way back. But then you remember the next following season, the Chiefs played the Patriots in a really important game. That game was on the road. And you remember Kansas City won that game. And we've talked to dear friend of the show, Mitchell Schwartz, and he told us, hey, that was the confidence boost that we needed to know that we could play against any team in the National Football League, that this team had set the standard, and we had to prove to ourselves as an organization that we could go on the road and we can beat that team. And we didn't care about their history or their accomplishments. We came here to set the tone. Does that not sound like the same scenario that exists this Sunday between the Chiefs and the Broncos? Now, I'm not saying that the run is over for the Kansas City Chiefs, not by any means, but the Chiefs have been the old guard. They have been old money. They have sat atop the AFC, it feels like now, for a half decade, maybe even longer. And there have been different threats that have popped up. We have tried to put different quarterbacks as the rival for Patrick Mahomes, whether it's been Baker Mayfield at a time, or Deshaun Watson, or Lamar, or Burrow, or Josh Allen. We know all of these names. Now there is a new crop, a new group of teams in the AFC that want to challenge the old way of thinking and the way that we have perceived the AFC for quite some time. We talked to James Palmer about it. Here's what he had to say about the disruption that is currently happening in the AFC.
There is a little bit of a shifting of the guard, but at the same time, I would say, like, the Ravens had one of the best rosters in football at the start of this year. They were just destroyed by injuries for a lengthy stretch, including their quarterback, which just derails their entire season. And I think they're still the front runner to probably win that division now. The Bills are a fascinating one. And the buzz around the league with Buffalo is this, like, did they knock on the door to the Super Bowl so many years in a row that now there's a little bit of an exhaustion with it, right? Like, we've been right there over and over again, and we can't get over the hump. And then this year you kind of see it to where they've been uneven week to week. They had a great defensive plan against Kansas City, and then the next week they lay an egg, you know, against Miami. And so, you know, I think that every team in the AFC is flawed to some capacity this year, and I think that's why we're having a hard time figuring out who's at the top. And you know, and I think you could really pick a major hole in every one of these teams, and I think that's why these games coming up this weekend across the NFL are so huge. Like, you have questions on every team, but like, okay, Rams, Seahawks, now we're really going to find out. Lions, Eagles, now we're really going to find out. Bills, Bucks, now we're really going to find out. Chiefs, Broncos, now we're really going to find out. I think everybody's waiting to find out, guaranteed, but nobody's playing good enough football to separate themselves legitimately and eliminate some of those questions.
One of the traps that we get into every year in sports is the schedule game. We find a team that maybe doesn't have the brand name, doesn't have the trust, and we poke holes in their resume. I mean, you can very easily do that with the Broncos. This is a team that beat the Jets by 2 points. This is a team that didn't score in the first 45 minutes against the Giants and needed one of the great fourth quarters in regular season history to beat the New York Giants. This is a team that just beat the Raiders the last time that we saw them 10-7. You don't have to do a whole lot of work to poke holes in what the Broncos have accomplished so far. Whether you want to look at Indianapolis' schedule, maybe you want to look at New England's schedule, whatever it is, when it is one of those kind of teams that are threatening the establishment, that are threatening the old guard, we usually look for reasons to not believe in them, to not think that they can do it. And how you build that credibility, how you build that kind of brand trust is winning this kind of game against a team like Kansas City. And I understand that you got to do that in January and you got to do that in the playoffs and when it matters. But for a lot of reasons, this is a playoff game for the Broncos. I mean, Kansas City knows, hey, we got bigger fish to fry. Just get us in the dance. But in a lot of ways for the Broncos, this is a chance for you to severely damage your top rival. This is a chance for you to threaten the hierarchy of, hey, every year you know that you can pencil in Kansas City as the AFC West champion. And it is laughed at, mocked, scoffed. If you suggest another team could win the AFC West, it won't be funny next year if you suggest that. And how do you do that? How do you start to shift the thinking in the AFC? It's winning these kinds of games. The beautiful thing I say about sports all the time is it doesn't matter what we talk about. Eventually, you got to go out there and you got to play somebody, and ultimately, you got to beat them to get your respect. It doesn't matter what's on paper. It doesn't matter what the national pundits are saying. It doesn't matter what anybody is saying. The Broncos, if they want us to believe that the Broncos are a good team, in my opinion, you got 60 minutes to show me on Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs. You got 60 minutes. I don't care what you did on Thursday Night Football. I don't care about the fourth quarter against the Giants. I don't care how you whipped the Dallas Cowboys. We are not talking about those teams in a Super Bowl context. That's how we talk about Kansas City. We talk about them as a Super Bowl team because we've seen them in these moments. And the Chiefs are shooting nearly 100% from the field when talking about this game. The thing that the Chiefs have done the best over the course of the last 6-7 years is they have kept every upstart company at bay. Every time that there was a company that tried to come in and threaten Walmart in this analogy, the Chiefs have crushed them every single time. This is just the newest. This is not any different than when Jacksonville thought they were this team or when the Houston Texans thought they were this team. We have seen a lot of teams pop up. Cleveland thought they were this with Baker Mayfield not that long ago. There have been a lot of teams over the last 5-6 years that thought they were ready to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. This is the newest challenger. This is the newest contender. Let's see if the Broncos can play a 60-minute game and beat the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday. Coming up on the other side, I want to play one more thing to you guys from James Palmer. I asked him if the Broncos are as good as the record says that they are. And also, Steven Spector is going to join us in studio. We're going to play a little game. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
ARK Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Spectre is going to join us coming up in just a bit. We're going to talk about quarterback play in the National Football League. Let me tell you guys that you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. This Sunday, stream Chiefs and Broncos live at 3:25 and then stay for the premiere of the new season of the hit original series Landman, all on Paramount Plus. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. I've heard of Landman before. Do you watch that show, Rob? Is that a show that you frequent?
I do. I actually would highly recommend it.
Isn't Billy Bob in that show?
Billy Bob's in that show.
I've seen like clips of it. I've never seen the show before. Is that a spinoff of anything?
No, it's a standalone deal. The guy who wrote Yellowstone also wrote it. So
okay, that's what I've done. Yeah, I knew I'd seen Tyler Sheridan before. Yeah.
Correct. It's not in that sphere, but it's done by him. It's very good. Would highly recommend.
Someone on the text line. So we were talking about this right before the break that, to use the analogy, the Chiefs are old money. They have been good for a very long time in the AFC. And right now, you are seeing a group of new money teams pop up. Denver, Indianapolis, and New England. And those teams are challenging the old guard. They are challenging the hierarchy of the AFC. The Chiefs, Bills, and Ravens have dominated this conference. The Chiefs have taken a step back from a records perspective. Buffalo is not as good as we thought they were going to be at the end of the season. And the Ravens certainly look better than what they did at the beginning of the season, but they are currently under 500. So you can't say that they are in the hierarchy of what we're talking about. You got to give the Broncos, Colts, and Patriots a lot of credit for what they've been able to do. But you don't get any award for being good in September or October. You got to prove it in the fall and in the winter to prove if you're one of the best teams in the National Football League. And this feels like one of those measuring stick games for the Chiefs. Someone on the text line says the newcomers this year had a last place schedule. The Chiefs have never had a last place schedule. I didn't look at the other two teams, but if you're looking at Denver and Kansas City schedule, these are the two games that are different between Kansas City and Denver because they play the exact same schedule. The two games that are different, the Chiefs played the Lions and the Broncos play the Packers. I would say pretty even in that regard. Two good teams. You got to go out there and beat two contenders in the NFC. Now, this is a massive difference. Kansas City had to play Buffalo, and the Broncos got the opportunity to play the Jets. So I would say, I mean, basically, out of the 17-game schedule, 16 of those games are basically the exact same game. Now, that is a drastic difference. The fact that you had to go on the road and play the Buffalo Bills, and they got a chance to play the Jets at home, but it's also important to note, Kansas City didn't beat Philadelphia, and the Broncos did beat Philadelphia. So I do think you got to give the Broncos some credit for what they've been able to do so far from a record standpoint. But the only thing that matters in the AFC and the AFC West is, can they do that against you, Rob?
I think that's a fair comment by the text line to ask about the last place schedule. I think it's fair to ask about the Colts and Patriots, though, because to your point, the Broncos were in the playoffs last year. Like, yes, they have an easier schedule than the Chiefs, but it's not light years easier. If you were to comb through the Colts schedule or comb through the Patriots schedule, which I also don't think the Patriots play last place schedule, but let's use the Colts for the example, then yes, you're going to find a lot of differences. But the Broncos' differences are pretty subtle. So I understand the texter's point, and I do think schedule does drive things in the NFL.
I think the Colts have actually played a pretty competitive schedule. The Colts so far this year, they have played Denver, on the road against the Rams, on the road against the Chargers, on the road against Pittsburgh, and they just played Atlanta in Berlin or overseas. The Colts, I'm not going to make it seem like they've played a murderer's row of schedule. I think the Chiefs' schedule has been harder so far than the Colts, but I don't think the Colts have just gotten fat off cupcakes. I mean, going on the road and beating the Chargers is a good win. I think Atlanta at a neutral site, that's a good win. Beating Denver earlier this season is a good win. The Colts have built a good resume.
The Colts, and this is not the Colts' fault, the Colts do get the Titans twice this year. For sure. Now, that's not the schedule makers. That's the division they play in.
Chiefs get the Raiders twice.
Exactly.
Chiefs get the Raiders twice.
The same way the Patriots get the Dolphins twice. Like, you can't. Sometimes you just can't fight the way your division shakes out.
For sure. So right now we are happy to be joined in studio by the boss man, Steven Spector. And Steven Spector is always ready to sit down and talk about and argue about quarterbacks. So we like dusting this segment off maybe once or twice a year just to get a feeling of where we are. So Rob's going to hit a little bit of NFL music. And I have written down every quarterback that is under the age of 25 in the National Football League. So 25 and under.
Okay.
We are going to give our top five list. So how we're going to do it is you get one honorable mention who narrowly missed your list. We'll go with number five. We'll go around the room and we'll go until we figure out who we all think is the best quarterback in the league under the age of 25. What I love most about this is you can't ask any, well, what about?
No, this is cut and dry.
This is a pure age.
Yeah. This is cut dry. I got my list ready to go.
Rob, hit the music. All right, Steven Spector, since you are the guest, we will let you go first. Who was your honorable mention? Who just missed the top five quarterbacks, 25 and under?
My honorable mention is J.J. McCarthy. I don't think we've seen enough from him, but from the moments that I've seen, I think there's something there in Minnesota. I think he has a good coaching setup. I think he has good weapons. I think J.J. McCarthy could be something in this league. I don't think he'll ever be a top five quarterback, but he's on my honorable mention under 25.
I have Bo Nix as my outside of the top 25 list. I liked Bo Nix as a rookie. I've not been really impressed by him in his second year. I think these other five quarterbacks that I'm going to list to you guys have just been better, more consistent, I think potentially have a higher ceiling. So that's why I have Bo Nix slightly outside of my top five quarterbacks, 25 and under. Rob, where are you at?
I had Trevor Lawrence as honorable mention. I am not a Trevor Lawrence believer. And I mean, it's because I do the show with you every day and you tell me that he's not that guy.
He's not that guy.
Trevor Lawrence is not bad. I don't want him to say like he's, you know, some bum. You could do worse.
He's still under 25 years old.
I think he turns 26 this season, right?
Yeah, during the season, he'll turn 26.
I feel like we've been talking about Trevor Lawrence for 8 years.
That's because he started in college 8 years ago.
He came into our lives in 2016 as a 17-year-old.
Yeah, if I was doing a draft between...
We can't laugh at how old Bo Nix is and Trevor Lawrence.
See, I thought Bo Nix was like 27. I just assumed because he was old coming out of college. I got to be honest, of our three honorable mentions, it's definitely not Trevor Lawrence for me. We have too much sample size between him and our two picks, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not a believer in Trevor Lawrence. I haven't been a believer in Trevor Lawrence for quite some time.
This was my final year for Trevor Lawrence. No, thank you.
Do you think he's the quarterback in Jacksonville next year?
His contract, yes.
His contract, yes. But if you watch Liam Cohn like react to Trevor Lawrence, he does not like him. That is a coach quarterback divorce waiting to happen.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence is Kyler Murray with better branding.
And taller.
Yeah, he's with better branding. All right, number five. I have Caleb Williams at number five. He's still a little bit of an enigma for me. I still think that Caleb Williams can play. I still like Caleb Williams. But I'm not as high on him as I was, let's say, a year ago where I was at. I still would take him over Bo Nix. I would take him over Trevor Lawrence just because of the upside and what I think he can potentially be. I admit he's a little bit shaky right now, but I think we're starting to see this group maybe isn't as consistent as we would want it to be. So I'm going to put Caleb Williams at my number five.
I have Caleb Williams at number five.
Okay.
So we're in lockstep. I don't think it's about the ability to play football. There's just something missing, and I don't know what it is. So whatever that is drops him down to number five, because I would say from a talent perspective, he's probably better than two of the other quarterbacks I have on my top five list. But there's something off about Caleb Williams, and I don't know what it is.
All right, so Caleb Williams is on my list, but he does not come in at number five for me. At number five, I have C.J. Stroud.
Oh, he must have Caleb Williams a little higher up on the list than
he does.
I'm very curious
Absolutely.
To hear where
I'm very
he has him on the
to
list.
See where you have him.
You got Stroud at five.
So a lot of things you guys said about Caleb Williams, how I feel about Stroud. He had a really good rookie season, like really good. What has he done since then? I know he's hurt right now.
He made the playoffs last year.
I mean, he made the playoffs because they played in the AFC South last year. Like,
still has to make the playoffs. They were, they did 10 and 7?
10 and 7, 9 and 8. But it felt like we kept waiting for this next step. And it just feels like we're stuck in neutral. So he's not bad. Again, not bad. But I have him at 5 because it just feels like nothing's happening there.
So I have him at 4. And then that's the next number we're doing. So I have Stroud at 4. So I'm not that far behind you.
I have Stroud higher than 4.
I have Caleb Williams at 4, by the way, just for
okay,
all the
so Rob
page.
And I flip-flop. We'll hear who your 4 is in a second. I think my...
Have you guys forgotten about this next quarterback? We'll talk about it.
We'll see. But I think the difference with Stroud is he has been gifted a bottom five offensive line in the NFL. He has one weapon in Nico Collins. Now that Tank Dell is down, Nick Chubb is not a legitimate running back in 2025. I think part of the Stroud argument is the argument that, CDOT, you've been making for 24 months with Mahomes. He doesn't have any pieces around him. A defensive head coach, two offensive coordinators in the last 2 years. I think Stroud is still very good, but I think the pieces around him are not good enough in comparison to the other people on this list.
That's why I still have Stroud very high on my list. I know Rob has given up on this quarterback. I have not. I have Brock Purdy at number 4. Brock Purdy is the most accomplished of any quarterback that we are discussing, and that is on this list. And when he has been healthy, Brock Purdy has played very, very well in San Francisco. I feel like we have moved on from Brock Purdy because of injury, but I still think if Brock Purdy can get healthy and get right for the second half of the season, I think San Francisco is as dangerous as any team in the NFC. So I have Brock Purdy at number 4 on my list.
Perfect transition, because I have him at number 3.
yep, beat me to it. I have Brock Purdy at 3. I think Brock Purdy.
Now I'm curious who's going to be in your top 3.
I thought 1 and 2 would be obvious in this game, but I have Purdy at 3 for all the same reasons you said. I feel good about Brock Purdy. Also, Brock Purdy kind of falls in that Trevor Lawrence category to me. He's turning 26 this year, but he is for now 25 and under.
Yeah, but he's got the best resume. Mm-hmm. He's got a Super Bowl appearance outside of last year when he was hurt and the whole team was hurt.
And he's been hurt this year, which...
I would say, and you, hopefully you guys agree, he probably has the lowest ceiling of this group, but he's the best quarterback.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that Purdy is a really solid point guard. I don't think he can go like get you 20, but I think if you put him around the right team, I think he sets everybody up. I think Purdy is a more than capable quarterback. I think what we are noticing with a lot of these guys is we talk about ceiling, and I'm with you. He doesn't have a high ceiling. I think his floor is relatively high, and I think that matters. I think that counts. I think you know what you're going to get from a production standpoint every time he goes out there, but I think it's pretty valuable in the league.
I also think he has the best head coach of anybody on this list.
For sure.
Now, maybe you can argue Kevin O'Connell because I got J.J. McCarthy, who I am assuming you guys aren't going to have in your top 3. But of the people we are listing, it's not D'Amico Ryans. I don't think it's Ben Johnson just yet. Kyle Shanahan is clearly the best coach on this list for a quarterback.
I have C.J. Stroud at number 3. I am still a very much a believer in C.J. Stroud's ability. I think a large majority of C.J. Stroud's problems are the pieces around him. I think they have given him a bottom 3 offensive line in the National Football League and told him to go make it work. That if Houston moves on from C.J. Stroud and he got a fresh situation like we saw Darnold eventually get, like we saw Baker Mayfield get, I think we would look at C.J. Stroud as a top 8 quarterback in the league. I'm still very much in the C.J. Stroud business. I've got him as number 3. If we are talking from a talent perspective, I think the only quarterback more talented than him under the age of 25 is Jaden Daniels.
My knock against Stroud, and again, I had him 4th, he's the only one who's not really mobile in this group. So I think he does get knocked for that, but to your point, I said the same thing. I think he has the worst weapons around him. He has one wide receiver, no running game, and a bad offensive line.
Like I said, I have Brock Purdy at 3, so we can just transition to 2 here. Are we going to all have the same 1-2? Because I have Drake May at number 2.
I have Drake May at number 2 as well.
I have Drake May at number 2 as well, so we have the same 1-2 then.
Is it hard to argue? Is there an argument for anything not being Jaden Daniels 1, Drake May 2? You could probably argue Drake May 1, Jaden Daniels 2, but they've both played in the league for 2 years. One has a championship game appearance. I don't know how you rank Drake May over Jaden Daniels. The only argument would be durability. And we'll see.
I don't disagree with that. This would be the question I would ask about Drake May, and I think you have to ask the same question about Jaden Daniels as well. We all know that part of being a great quarterback is not doing it the 1 year. He is having a phenomenal season. But if we played this same game, let's say we go back a decade, we probably would argue Carson Wentz was number one on this list. Like, the start that Carson Wentz got off to was an incredible start. Like, we could find a lot of quarterbacks. There's a time that we thought very highly of Derek Carr, thought that he had a chance of being a really good quarterback. So this is that year. Is Drake May going to be able to replicate this in year three and year four? If that's the case, he's the top eight quarterback in the National
Football
League.
It's probably higher than that.
You gotta do it consistently for me. So that's why at least I'm currently pumping the brakes on Drake May.
I am buying a lot of Drake May stock, like a lot. I feel like one of the knocks about Drake May is, oh, he's this the new flavor of the month. We didn't care about the Patriots last year because why on earth would you care about last year's Patriots? But you know what Drake May was doing? He was playing good football down the stretch in games that didn't matter. There's a reason that job was appealing to Mike Vrabel and others, because they felt like they had the quarterback. You feel like you've checked the box. And this year he has come out with a better offensive mind and more weapons and a better offensive line and played really well. He's had 19 touchdowns this year, but tied for sixth in the NFL as a second year player leading the AFC. Like, I don't think he's Tom Brady. That's obviously too much to put on the kid, but I think he is extremely talented. And you're right. I was tempted to have May at one because of durability, but Jaden Daniels went to the NFC title game last year, which just makes him undeniable for me being number one.
I want everybody to go through their list one more time. My honorable mention quarterback. So we are doing quarterbacks 25 and under. My honorable mention quarterback was Bo Nix. So right outside the top five. Number five, Caleb Williams. Number four, Brock Purdy. Three, CJ Stroud. Two, Drake May. And one, Jaden Daniels.
Honorable mention for me, JJ McCarthy. Number five, Caleb Williams. Number four, CJ Stroud. Number three, Brock Purdy. Number two, Drake May. Number one, Jaden Daniels.
I had my honorable mention was Trevor Lawrence. At number five, CJ Stroud. Number four, Caleb Williams. Three, Bush Lightboy, Brock Purdy. Number two, Drake May. And number one, Jaden Daniels.
That is the boss man, Stephen Spector, joining us in studio to talk a little NFL quarterbacks. I know that's a topic that you love. You love talking quarterbacks.
I love NFL QBs.
So speaking of quarterbacks, we asked James Palmer about the Bo Nix regression that we've seen so far this season. Here's what he said.
Regression is the word that we oftentimes use. What really is the truth, Karen, honestly, is like there's no book on you rookie year. There's no book on how you like to play with your play caller. There's no book on the tendencies you have in the NFL game. And when I talk to teams, it's, you know, there's a book on the guy now. And defenses know his tendencies of what he likes to do. You can't rely on a couple of those things that you really relied on your rookie year because people didn't know that was something that you really love to do within this offense. So he's having to react back to the way defenses are playing him. I do think there's been somewhat of a regression for sure, and a lot of that happens with the growth of these young quarterbacks. I mean, I'll be honest, like Patrick's been the outlier in all honesty in terms of quarterback growth throughout a player's career, the way he's played in the early seasons of it. And it's this, like, all right, they're going to take this away. You gotta change and pivot to this. The rookie year, we know that you do these five things really, really well. Let's stick with them. Well, guess what? Those five things don't work in year two. We got to make it to 10. And they wanted to expand this offense in year two. They really did. They thought off that first year, all right, we can really expand this for Bo. Well, they put a lot out there and a lot on his plate. And so no quarterback growth is linear by any stretch, but he's not playing the way that they expected him to play in year two for sure.
If Bo Nix had taken the step forward, I'd be really worried about the Broncos. And I would look at the Broncos a little bit different than how I look at them right now. And I would look at the Broncos as a team that could be the last team standing. I don't care how good you think your defense is in 2025, 2026 season. You are not winning a championship with a quarterback that is 29th in completion percentage and 28th in yards per attempt. Like, that is just not how this thing works in the National Football League. So at least for me, like, if you were asking the question, hey, what can the Broncos do to make you take them seriously? What could the Broncos do for you to think that the Broncos can win the Super Bowl? I don't think the Broncos need the best quarterback in the league, but I think they need better quarterback play than what they've gotten from Bo Nix. And a major reason of why I am not a believer in the Broncos, you can't create the deficits or play as poorly as they've played in the first, second, and third quarter and then think that you're going to magically put it together against playoff teams in the fourth quarter every single week. You might do that against the Jets. You might do that against the Giants. Maybe you are able to do that against the Las Vegas Raiders. You are not going into the postseason possibly as the 2 or the 3 seed and then tell me that you're doing that against the Chargers, Chiefs, and Bills in 3 consecutive weeks. That is just not how the AFC playoffs work.
I do feel like Now, James knows the inner workings of the Broncos better than me. He's more plugged in than me, all those things. So, but I think James hit on something there that I've kind of felt about with Bo Nix. Bo Nix was good last year. I know that everyone gets their jokes off about Bo this year, but Bo made good is a strong term, but he had a solid rookie season. No one is looking back at the rookie season of Bo Nix and going, oh my God, this absolute disaster. It was a good season. And it feels like the Broncos, you know, then said, okay, progression is coming. Here we go. You know, next step. And for whatever reason, whether it be the Broncos putting too much on his plate, whether they were expected progression and it just didn't happen, whatever the reason, Bo Nix at the very best has stagnated or regressed. And I think if you're Sean Payton, if you're the power structure of the Broncos, you got to figure out the why. Because I do think, to your point about Bo Nix, you and Chiefs fans in the text line would be far more scared of Denver if Bo Nix was playing the way he did last year. And he wasn't an MVP last year. He was just way more competent looking at
times. I would look at the Broncos
year.
As the best team in the league if Bo Nix was playing the way that he played last year. The reason I don't think the Broncos are the best team in the league is because I think their quarterback is inconsistent. I like most of the other things that the Broncos have. I like the Broncos' run game. I was telling you that over the summer that I liked what the Broncos did at running back. I don't think the Broncos have the best weapons. They certainly have enough weapons to be able to go and compete for a championship, and their defense is really good. What's going to be the thing that holds the Broncos back? The thing that holds the Broncos back is them losing 20-17 in the first round of the AFC playoffs because their quarterback throws one touchdown and two interceptions. That's the reason to be a seller when it comes to them. We'll get back to Chiefs and Broncos here coming up in a bit. I want us to all acknowledge how this thing is going to end in Philadelphia. I mean, this is the most obvious plot twist in the history of plots. You know how sometimes when you're laying there with your wife or whoever you watch movies with, and you start watching a movie, and then 5 minutes in, you're like, oh, I know what's going to happen. And then how the movie plays off is exactly how you thought it was going to play off. That is exactly what is happening right now in Philadelphia. In fact, we've seen this in Philadelphia with the unhappy wide receiver. Does anybody think that A.J. Brown is going to be on the team next year? Does anybody think that A.J. Brown is going to be wearing an Eagles jersey past whenever they get eliminated this year in the postseason? Like, it probably was heading towards a divorce last year. I mean, he was reading a book on the sideline in the playoffs. But you go to and win the Super Bowl, I mean, there's only so much complaining you can do. But you also put up a top 10 receiver year last year. So you got your numbers. So you got paid. You got your numbers. You got a ring. I mean, there's only so much complaining you can do. Well, the offense is sputtered. You aren't getting your numbers. You aren't as involved in the offense. So a lot of those problems that you had, they are just coming up. And A.J. Brown, he has been willing to tell people every single time he is in front of a microphone how unhappy he is right now to be playing with the Eagles.
I think if we're really focusing on winning, doing our job, like, we can't just keep slapping a Band-Aid over the defense doing their job and getting us out of trouble. At what point are we going to pick up our slack as an offense that we're so great, you know? And that's what I'm getting at. It's not about we're not winning or I don't care about winning. All I care about is snap and step. No, it's been week after week sometimes. We're not contributing. We're not doing our job on offense. So you can't just keep slapping a Band-Aid over it, and you expect to win late in the year. You think you're going to go to it at the end of the year. It's not going to happen.
It is very, very difficult to win consistently in the National Football League. It's hard. It's even harder when your best players are pushing in an opposite direction than everybody else. It does not appear like A.J. Brown is on the same page as everybody else. He's talking to the media about this. He's on Twitch talking about this. He was playing a video game on Twitch a couple of nights ago, and they were talking to him about fantasy, and he said, I think you should drop me. Now, it's not that big of a deal, but it is just a pattern of comments or events or things that have been said, whatever it is, when it comes to A.J. Brown. I'm telling you, we all know how this story ends. We wake up on a March afternoon or a March morning, and we find out that A.J. Brown has been traded to another team. That's the only possible way this can work. That person will destroy your team chemistry. They will destroy your locker room. You already got a really, really good wide receiver in Devontae Smith. You got a very, very good tight end in Dallas Goedert. Wide receiver is the one thing that there always is an abundance of, whether it's in free agency or going to grab somebody in the NFL draft. It's over. The relationship is over between A.J. Brown and the Philadelphia Eagles, and we are quite simply playing out the string. Coming up on the other side, let's switch gears and talk a little college football in. Oh, the sport is being predictable. I'll explain. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
ARC Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARC and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARC Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor, ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back into the show. Let me tell you that our college football coverage here on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light and Tanners are teaming up to make every college game day legendary. Every Saturday, rep your favorite college, catch every play, and enjoy a $15 bucket. Only at Kansas area Tanners locations, Bud Light and Tanners. From the stands to the bar, your game day headquarters. Now, if there is a sport that is elitist, let me tell you that it is college football. It is hard to crack their little group. And let me tell you, as we are getting closer and closer to figuring out who is going to be in the college football playoff, oh, the elitists are coming out. So I remember when it was the cool stance to have where you wanted the little guy to get a shot. You guys remember in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, Boise State. One of the great upsets in college football history, Boise State with the hook and ladder and the Statue of Liberty. We've seen Cincinnati back before they were in the Big 12 make the college football playoff. We used to champion the little guy. Not anymore. Paul Feinbaum doesn't even want them included in the 12-team playoff.
I mean, what is wrong with this country? When let's put a couple of people over here in. Let's put a couple of people. What about putting the best in? I don't see Major League Baseball. I don't see the NFL going, the Chiefs, they've been there too many times. Let's put the Patriots in. I mean, doggy, this is about to be, this is supposed to be about excellence, not about being fair. This is not the little leagues where we give a second, third, fourth, and fifth place trophy. This should be the best. It's already a convoluted system because we let the group of whatever in, the group of five with South Florida, and they have no business. That conference, that division really has no business playing. That's like letting the AAA best team in to the major league playoffs. It doesn't happen in any other sport. But for you to say, oh, the SEC has too many teams in and this and that is just patently ridiculous.
But it does happen in other sports. It happens in college basketball. We let the little guy in the NCAA tournament. You don't have to just be in the Big 12 or SEC or Big 10 to compete for a national championship, and we've seen those teams make runs and get to the Final Four, get to the national championship. Butler did it 15 years ago. Now, I'm not telling you that I think that South Florida is going to win the national championship, but, I mean, if we're going to expand the playoffs to where now 12 teams have a chance to get a spot for the national championship, and we're not going to do it the way that our grandfathers did it with the polls. We're not going to do it with the BCS, which I actually don't think was a bad model of determining who the two best teams were. If we're not going to do the four-team playoff that I think got it right more times than not, if now we're just going to have this, well, we're going to water down the regular season and you can lose once or two times. And so to me, you got to let one of those teams get a seat at the table. I don't think you got to let two of those teams in. I think they need to have their own championship game. I don't think there needs to be an American championship game or a Sun Belt championship game. I think those group of five schools, I think they need to have a big mega super conference of some sort. And I think it needs to be, hey, if you guys want this spot in the college football playoff, you know what? Memphis has to play South Florida. Those two teams go up against each other the same way that Georgia and Texas have to play each other in the SEC championship game, or Indiana and Ohio State. You guys are the two best group of five schools. You play each other. The winner gets the opportunity to compete for the national championship, and the loser goes to the Sun Bowl. That's how I would do it if I were in college football. But I'm going to fight for those schools to get one seat at the table. It's fair for you if you're in the SEC. It's fair for you if you're in the Big Ten or ACC or Big 12. You got a guaranteed spot, and you get an opportunity to be an at-large, a wild card team. It's not fair for those group of five schools. So, yeah, I'm fighting for the little guy. The little guy deserves an opportunity to compete for a chance in the national championship. So I'm fighting for you. I'm also going to fight for this. Rob and I usually don't get into spirited arguments behind the scenes. Like, Rob and I have a great relationship. We're friends. We're coworkers. We're colleagues. We're brothers. I love Rob. Rob and I had a very serious argument today about Greg Olsen's concept of taking the points. Listen to this.
I love game-winning field goals. I love strategic field goals. I don't love field goals under the notion of take the points. I hate the phrase take the points. I hate when commentators say it. I hate when coaches say it. I hate when media says it. I don't know what take the points means. That it doesn't make sense to me, but I wouldn't say I hate them. I hate goal to go field goals where I'm getting 3 points and then I got to go kick off, and we can get into the kickoff rules and how that changes strategy because of field position and whatnot. But it's a deeper conversation. But generally speaking, unless it's to win the game or end of half scenario or just a fourth and unreasonably long, a goal to go situation, I'm in four down mode until I just can't feasibly go for it anymore, and I'll take 3 points.
You know what? I think he softened it there a little bit at the end. I understand if you have fourth and goal from the 2-yard line, why your stance as a team would be, we think over the span of a season, we are going to maximize our opportunity at scoring if we go for it here. And maybe you get it, maybe you don't get it, but this is going to be our consistent stance. But then at the end, he says unreasonable distance. Well, what are we determining is unreasonable? Because I would say, if it is 4th and 6 from the 25-yard line, and you got an opportunity to run a play or take a 41-yard field goal, I think the smart thing to do is to take points. I think it is a smart thing to do every single time that your team has the football to score and to continue to put pressure on the opposition to also be in a place where you got to score whenever you get the football. So that's taking points to me. There's a finite number of possessions that you're going to get in a game. And it's not basketball where you're going to get 80 opportunities to score. No, you get like 6 or 7 in an NFL game. So if you score in some capacity every time you get it, it then puts pressure. Now, yes, you want to score touchdowns. You want to convert those drives. You want to convert the red zone. But to me, taking the points is putting pressure on the opposition to where they need to match your offense. They need to match your special teams, and they need to score themselves. I think we are seeing that for all of the analytics and aggressiveness, you got to show me who this is actually working for, because it sounds great to say, oh, we're going to go for it. Who's the team that's winning championships that way? Is there a team doing that in college football? Is there a team doing that in the NFL? I'm talking high level, high major college NFL. Is there this aggressive team that's winning championships because they're going forward on 2-point conversions, because they're super aggressive with going forward on 4th downs? So I think the conventional wisdom tells you to take the points because it maximizes your scoring opportunities. I used to be on the other side of this and thought the teams were scared and too conservative. I've turned around over the course of the last 4 or 5 years. I think taking the points is the smart play in 90% of football scenarios.
I'm happy you brought up who's going for it and being this aggressive winning championships. Do you know where the Eagles were last year in 4th down conversion rate? They were 3rd. Do you know who was 1st? Washington. They played in the NFC title game. You know who was 2nd? Buffalo. They played in the AFC title game. You know who was 4th? Detroit. They played in the playoffs. Kansas City last year, if you're saying, hey, where are the Chiefs? They were 6th. Okay, well, that was last year, Rob. That's, you know, different strokes, different folks.
Those teams also all had great quarterback play.
I don't think they're winning because of 4th down aggression. I don't think it's not the singular reason, but I think teams that are aggressive on 4th down tend to be the winning teams this year. Do you know who's number 2 in the NFL in 4th down conversions? The Colts. The Colts have one of the best records. Number 3, the Patriots. Number 4, the Chiefs. Number 5, the Rams. Like, there is a method to the madness here in being aggressive. And where me and you disagreed, it's actually what Greg Olson was talking about at the end there, where you said he softened it. If you're in goal-to-go situations, unless it's 4th and unreasonable, taking a field goal from inside, like, the 7-yard line is nonsensical to me. If it's 4th and goal from the 6, you'd have to really create a scenario where time, score, and all the things are just massively to your advantage to take 3 points for me to justify not going for the 7. And you know who I think does this pretty consistently based on the analytics play? The Lions. Now, you're right. The Lions don't have a Super Bowl, but the Lions have been one of the better teams in the league since Dan Campbell took over, and Dan Campbell coaches this way. But, you know, 4th and goal from the 11 because of, you know, penalties or what have you, that's fine. Take the points. If you're up by, you know, 10 points and you can put, you know, 13 points, you can push to 16 or whatever, 14 to 17, and there's 5 minutes left in the game, take the points. But I think more times than not, teams need to tend to be aggressive, and that's where me and Greg Olson see it the same way.
Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about how different the Chiefs are since the last time that they played the Denver Broncos in a game that mattered. We'll get to it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late.
Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.